This morning we're turning to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're reading the first 17 verses of this chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whatsoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Brothers and sisters, the first two, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I ask the Lord to bless this reading from his own infallible word. If I was to put a title on this message this morning, it would be the birthmarks of a believer. The birthmarks of a believer. And brothers and sisters, as we look this morning, let us look and see if we have these birthmarks in our life. If we are in the family of God, we should have these birthmarks in our life. With God's word open, could we ask him to bless the reading of his precious word? Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thy Lord, hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. And Father, I pray that you'll bless your word this day, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. The birthmarks of a believer. You know, when a child is born into a family, the relatives and the friends would normally come to the house, and they would say, I see the father in this wee child, or I see the mother in this wee child. But you know, brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, there are certain birthmarks that should identify you with your heavenly Father. It doesn't mean that you must have these marks in order to become a Christian. But rather, It gives the evidence that you are a Christian. Not everyone who says he or she is a Christian are Christians. We read in 1 John 2 and 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. You know, there are many people who identify with Jesus Christ as Christians. Some are very charming and winsome, like Judas. The other disciples give Judas the job of carrying the money bag. But it turned out to be that he wasn't really a believer after all. He didn't have the birthmarks in his life. Oh, this morning, my brother, my sister, may God shine his light into your heart as he shone his light into my heart as I prepared this message, and see if you have these birthmarks in your life. The first birthmark I want us to look at this morning is the birthmark of obedience. The birthmark of obedience. Do you have it? Have you got an obedient heart? Obedience is not simply doing the will of God. It is delighting in doing the will of God. Can I say that again? Obedience is not simply doing the will of God. It is delighting in doing the will of God. Obedience is a wonderful birthmark. There are many people who say they are Christians, but have no desire to obey the Lord. They lack evidence in their Christian life of obedience to their Lord. In 1 John 2 and verse 3 we read, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk." As I thought of this obedience, this birthmark of obedience, I said, "Lord, show me in your word a man or a woman who's stamped with this mark of obedience in their life." And you know, my brother and my sisters, I didn't have to go very far in the scriptures until I came to a man called Abraham. And God came to Abraham one day and he said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave the land and I'll take you to another land." You know, Abraham didn't come and say, "Why, Lord, do you want me to go? Do I have to leave?" No, Abraham had this birthmark of obedience stamped in his life. And you know, there's another occasion in the scriptures. The Lord came to this man of God and he said, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him up and I want you to sacrifice him." You know, Abraham didn't say, "Lord, do you not mean I need to take a lamb or I need to take something else?" He was obedient to the Lord. The Bible tells us that he even cut the very firewood that was going to be used to be that burning altar. Oh, what a man stamped with obedience. But then something came into my mind of a man who hadn't got this birthmark of obedience. And that man that came flashing into my mind was the man Jonah. And Jonah was called of God to go and preach the word. But the Bible tells us that Jonah ran away from God. He was disobedient. He didn't have this birthmark of obedience. He ran away from God. But you know, my friend, what a God we have, a long-suffering God. Because I read in Jonah chapter 3 that the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. And it wasn't a disobedient heart this time. It was a heart that became obedient to the call of God. And Jonah went and done the work for the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 and in verse 3 to 6, Every believer is to have an obedient heart toward the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, could I challenge you this morning? This week, as you read God's word, even this morning as you read God's word, has God challenged your heart about something that you need to put right in your life? Has God challenged you to do a work for him as he done for Jonah? And maybe you're halting and you're worried and you're disobedient. Oh friend, today I would plead with you, have this obedient heart toward the Lord Jesus. Every believer is to have that obedient heart. May the Spirit of God speak to each of us and reveal whether or not we have this birthmark, the birthmark of obedience. To be obedient to our God and to our Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus was obedient to the Father. The Father sent the Son to come into this world to die for you and me. He came and he had that obedient heart to come and die for you and me. Oh friend, this morning, have you this birthmark of obedience? Can people see in your life that you're obedient to God and to the call of God? The second birthmark I would like us to look at this morning is the birthmark of love. The birthmark of love. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, it is one of the identifying birthmarks of a believer. Love. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to love the Lord our God. Yea, it commands us that we have to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, and with all our mind. Brothers and sisters, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Do you love the Word of God? Is the Word of God the first thing that you lift in the morning to have the Lord speak to you? Do you love the lost souls of men and women? Can I challenge you as the Lord challenged me as I prepared this message? Is the first thing when I get to pray, do I pray for my loved ones? Do I pray for my neighbors? Do I pray for my friends who are another day closer to Christ's eternity? Oh friend, have you this birthmark of love for souls? Do you pray for the souls of men and women? Do you have a love for brethren and sisters who are carrying burdens? Brethren and sisters who are under the burden of some situation in their life where they need the prayer of the saints of God. I remember about 10 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. And she took, in the middle of her chemotherapy, a major heart attack and was taken into hospital. My mother was in hospital at the same time. Her mother was in hospital at the same time. And an old aunt was in hospital. And you know, it rejoiced my soul when people phoned our house and said, Tommy, we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. You know, it was great to know that the people had that love for one another. And you know, brothers and sisters, we need to have that love for the children of God. Have you got that birthmark of love? Do you have a love for the work of God? Do you pray for the work of God? Do you pray for the work out our missionaries on the mission field? Do you pray for the men and women that leave their home and go out to serve God in foreign countries? Do you have a love for the servant of God? Do you pray for Dr. Johnson? Do you pray that God's servant, as he comes into this pulpit each Lord's Day, would be filled with the Spirit of God A man with a message for the people of Newtownards, that the people in Newtownards would know that there's a man of God in this church preaching the whole counsel of God. Oh friend, do you have a love for God's servant? You know, I thought through the scriptures, again, I thought of the story of the little maid. That story of Naaman the leper. And you know, Naaman came with his great Syrian army. And that little maid, I would say, maybe she was going to get water for her parents. And maybe as she was making her way down to get that water, that great soldier and that great army came and took that little maid away captive into a foreign land. She was taken away from her parents. She was taken away from her friends. She was taken away from the life that she knew. And she was put into this man, Naaman's house. When you think, when she heard that Naaman had this awful disease of leprosy, she would have said, it serves him right. He took me away from my parents, it serves him right. But you know, this little girl had the stamp of love in her heart. She had a love for this man. And she would witness to this man that how he could go to God's servant and how he could be healed. She's one of God's little nobodies. We're not even told her name. But she had this birthmark of love. She had a love for the man that done so much against her. She had a love to see him won for the Savior and also healed. Oh friend, this morning, have you this birthmark of love in your life? Have you this birthmark of love? The third birthmark I would like us to look at this morning is the birthmark of the Holy Spirit. The birthmark of the Holy Spirit. And 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, brethren and sisters, is a person. Just like you know people in your life, and you can call them by name, and you can get well acquainted with them. We need to be acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? There is a birthmark of the believer. His indwelling presence is a birthmark of the true believer. There are other religions and other people who talk about God and talk about religious experiences. They never talk about the power of the indwelling of the Spirit of God to enable them to live the Christian life. They do not talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They know nothing of salvation, the new birth, or receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a child of God. Do you know that? Oh friend, you can have that every day. You should pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You know, the great preacher, Mueller, that famous man of Bristol, was having a tremendous gospel campaign. And one night, the church was packed, was absolutely packed, jam. And this lady had her little child sitting, and the little child started to cry. But you know, there was an atheist in that town. And he said, I'm coming to wreck this meeting. I am not letting this man preach. I'm going to wreck the meeting. And you know, that little child got noisier and noisier and noisier. And of course, the lady tried to get up and make her way through the crowd. But the great preacher just said, dear, just you sit down. I'm going to pray. And the lady sat down and Mueller said, Lord, you sent me to preach the gospel. There's sinners in this meeting tonight that needs the gospel. Lord, just quieten this little child down. And when Mueller opened his eyes, the little child was fast asleep. And you know, this had a mark on this atheist at the back of the meeting. And he said, there's something about this man. I must speak to him. And you know, that night, the great preacher had the joy of pointing that atheist to the Savior. Why? Because he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. A man that could be used of God. Oh friend, this morning, do you have this birthmark in your life? You know, the fourth birthmark that I would like us to look at this morning, with just one more after this. The fourth birthmark, the witness within. 1 John 5 and verse 9 tells us, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You know, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our own and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in us. He becomes the witness within. The Lord lives in each believer and provides that assurance that we are his through his divine witness. In Colossians 1 we read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We sang it this morning, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm so happy night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. You know, there were two on the road to Emmaus, and both of them were so downhearted. Two disciples, and they had just seen the Lord crucified. They had just seen the Lord put into the tomb. And you know, they had forgotten everything what the Lord had said. They had forgotten that he said that he would rise the third day. And you know, the Bible tells us as they walked along, you could say they were in a backslidden state. They were so disheartened and so down that they didn't even recognize the Savior who walked with them. But you know, the Lord spoke to them and told, the scriptures tells us that he broke the scriptures to them. And you know what these disciples said? Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us by the way? Oh friend, the witness within. What a joy it is to have the witness within. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the Comforter abides with me. Are you rejoicing this morning? You have the Comforter in your life. Why should we worry about anything if we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abiding within us? There was a man called George Guthrie, the author of Safety, Certainty and Enjoyment. And in the early 19th century, he was riding his bicycle through a little town in the south of England. And you know, all of a sudden, something within him said, shout out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he done it. A couple of minutes later, he was said, do it again. And he shouted out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Many years later, Guthrie visited that little village. And he went from door to door, knocking the doors. And a lady came out to him. And he said, dear, I'm here to present the gospel. And she said, sir, I'm a Christian. Come in and I'll tell you how I got saved. She said, one night I was at a gospel meeting, and I should have come to the Savior, but I didn't. And she said, one Monday morning, I was out putting the clothes in the line. And as I was putting the clothes in the line, I heard someone shout, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And she said, I shot a prayer to heaven and said, Lord, if that's for me, may it come again. And she said, within seconds, it happened again. And she said, I came in, I got saved. And you know, that great man was able to tell that lady that he was the man that shouted out that message, the witness within. Oh friend, have you the birthmark of the witness within? The final birthmark I want us to look at this morning is the birthmark of prayer. The birthmark of prayer. God hears and answers the prayers of his children. Each child of God has the privilege of talking regularly through prayer to their Heavenly Father. Have you the birthmark of a prayerful Christian? Can people approach you and say, I want you to pray for something? They know that you're a man and a woman of prayer. I remember when I started to go to the wee church in the Ravenhill Road in the early 60s. There were men and women in that prayer meeting. And they were prayer warriors. That's what we need in the church of God today. We need men and women who are prayer warriors. And as a young Christian, I learned to pray in that prayer meeting. I heard men and women coming and pleading for their loved ones, and then coming the next week and rejoicing that God answers prayer. Oh friend, we need men and women that know how to pray. Though we profess to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we really have no Christian life without the Bible or without prayer. We only exist. The Bible reveals God to us, but prayer brings God's power to us. You know, the Lord Jesus was the greatest of all preachers. But the disciples didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach." They said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They knew that the Lord Jesus was a man of prayer, and they needed to pray. I know, my friend, this morning, you show me a man and woman that's doing a work for God, and I'll show you a man and woman that has this birthmark stamped in their lives. Their life. They are men and women of prayer. Do you have that birthmark this morning? Are you a prayer warrior for the Lord? You know, I pray that the Lord will speak to each of our hearts this morning, that we might see that if we have these birthmarks of obedience, the birthmark of love, the birthmark of the Holy Spirit, the birthmark of the witness within, and the birthmark of prayer. But you know, my friend, in the meeting, without Christ, you know, you can't have these birthmarks because you're not in the family of God. These are only for the children of God. But you know, my friend, you need another birth. And it's the birth that the Savior told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to the Lord Jesus at night. And he said, and the Lord said to him, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." That's the birthmark that you need this morning, my friend, without Christ. You need to be born again. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I can do nothing of myself. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me in your precious blood." And then, my friend, you can come into the family of God, and you can have that mark of obedience in your life. You can have that mark of love in your life. You can have that mark of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can have the witness of God within, and you can have the prayer of, you can have the witness of prayer. Oh, I pray this morning, if you're in the meeting without Christ, that this day you'll get into the family of God, and that you'll call upon Him. Brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart as He spoke to my heart, to see if you have these birthmarks in your life, and that we might go forward, and that we might see God's work done for Him. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing the hymn.